Ich bin ein Arscher, du Blick.
Log Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. In alhamda lillahi ta'ala. Nahmiduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. أرسله الله بالهدى والدين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. I want to welcome you today to our show, The Muslim Review, with your host, Imam Luqman Ahmed. We have a somewhat of an interesting show today. Thanks for tuning in. All praises are due to Allah, and may peace and blessings be upon Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want to get that out the way. But today's show is going to be about the Donald Trump presidency, and particularly I want to talk about these demonstrations that are going on across the country, because and I'm going to be honest with you, I did hear that there were going to be demonstrations. I did not anticipate that it would be the size and the breadth that it turned out to be, because they're demonstrating in Oakland, they're demonstrating in Sacramento, they're demonstrating, of course, in Washington, D.C., they're demonstrating in the Midwest, they're demonstrating in Colorado, and I'm seeing seas of people and seas of pink, because I guess it was the pink hat demonstration. I was distracted. That's what happened. But I guess it was the pink hat demonstration. And it was a women's demonstration. So it's going on all across the country. Now, this is America, and I like to see dissent. I like to see when I see different sides of the issue, and that's the good part. But there's a couple of things that I want to focus in on. But first, I want to tell you that our call-in number is 929-477-2385. And I really encourage you to call in today. Let me check something here, because I'm trying to figure out how to do a couple things on this program here. Okay, I want you to call in, because this is the issue that I have with all of this with respect to the Muslim community, because you have an amalgam of issues thrown together. Okay, you have, okay, we don't like Trump. I get that part. You have civil rights. I get that. You have women's rights. Get that. You have women reproductive rights. I get that. I may not agree, but I do get that. You have immigration. You have the anti-Muslim thing going on. You have the Black Lives Matter going on. And you have marriage equality going on, all thrown into one single pot. So even with the Muslim community, now I want to talk a little bit how Muslims fit into that, because it's like we're saying, we're all together, we're going for all these issues. So even as a Muslim, when you get caught in the sea of demonstration, you're pulled in, giving the impression that as a Muslim, you support everything that's against Trump. And do we want to do that? Or if we do that in the beginning, when do we break off to issues that fit our moral code, our religious norms? Like, for example, as a Muslim, do you support abortion rights? because abortion is what the major cause of death in the Muslim community is through abortions? Or do you support marriage equality? So if the marriage equality group supports not deporting Muslims or not speaking badly towards Muslims, do Muslims have to reciprocate and say that we support marriage equality? Or do Muslims have to reciprocate and say we support abortion? Even on the immigration issue, do Muslims have to jump on that issue wholeheartedly, or can they break it down and compartmentalize different aspects of it? Because our community, the Muslim community, we are not one monolithic group with the same politics. That is not true. And I don't want anybody in my listening audience to even think for a moment that that's the case. Because the reality is that there are two Muslim Americas. And then the issue of Trump, his overture so far into the Black community, or even speaking to Black leaders, even if they're not the traditional political and civic leaders in our community. He did reach out to Jim Brown, the great Jim Brown, who is definitely has his pulse on inner city America, at least in the Los Angeles area, has spent decades working with Black youth on a variety of things and being heavily involved in the community. He reached out to Kanye West, and I ain't gonna talk about that. He reached out to Steve Harvey. Now, Steve Harvey is a comedian. He's not, he's a comedian. I don't know the guy, but I'm thinking that he has a concern about African-American inner city issues, and Trump reaching out to him, I don't think it was just for the camera. I mean, I think he listened. He wanted to hear what these guys has to say. You got to keep in mind, this guy, Trump is, President Trump is 77. Yeah, I said President Trump. He is the president of the United States of America. And he came through power non-violently. So what we saw yesterday was a peaceful transference of tremendous power. And that's one of the things that's great. And yes, I said great about the United States of America. But going back to this amalgam of issues thrown together, and Muslims, you know, we get psyched up. I had some issues about the Muslim organizer part of this. The jury's still out with me about Linda Sarsour. I'm not going to speak bad about her because I don't speak bad about individuals like that on the radio, especially fellow Muslim Americans. But I did have some issues, you know, some concerns where she is concerned. So when I saw she was involved in the organizing of Muslim women being involved, I had some questions, okay? And they're still not answered. But going back to the bigger picture, how do Muslims fit into all this? Should Muslims go all in protest and take all these issues and put them in our issue file? So we support everything and anything as long as it's against Trump? No, I don't think that we should do that. I think that we have to compartmentalize our issues. We have to be careful when we build coalitions. Building coalitions, I think, is a good thing if you're trying to affect change in the United States. But you have to be careful about the issues that you take on, because there is the moral repercussion. That's what I'm concerned about. The moral repercussion as a Muslim. How do you stand as a Muslim if you say you support marriage equality? How do you stand as a Muslim if you say that you support abortion? How do you stand? So that's just something to think about. Now, my position, and I'm not making no secret about it, and I've put out information about that. My position is that we need to give President Trump, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt until I see some real policy. Now, he did sign an executive order yesterday clearing the way for dismantling Obamacare. And he ran on that, and they're going to hold his feet to the fire on that. But they are having some, not second thoughts, but they're having some points of hesitation on the Obamacare thing, because a lot of his supporters, a lot of the white rural people who support and supported and voted for Donald Trump as president of the United States, they are benefiting from Obamacare. So what are they going to do? Because if I remember correctly, the rhetoric during the campaign was that they're going to repeal Obamacare day one. Now, day one has already passed. It hasn't been repealed. They have started a process, but now they're talking about at least 100 days before they make any major moves to remove Obamacare. And they are within the Republicans. They're talking about, well, wait a minute. We don't want to remove Obamacare without having something else ready to go into immediate implementation, because 20 million Americans are going to lose their health care, and a lot of those are people who supported Donald Trump. So they're pivoting back on that a little bit. They're even pivoting back on the wall, building the wall on the border. Before, he was saying, we're going to build the wall and Mexico is going to pay for it. Then he pedaled back a little bit in recent days and said, we're going to build the wall, we're going to pay for it, but we're going to have Mexico reimburse us. And now, they're because yesterday in his inaugural speech, he didn't even talk about that wall. He didn't even talk about Obamacare. And the only thing he said about Muslims was he's going to wipe ISIS off the face of the earth. So I'm still willing to give President Trump to give him a chance. I'm willing to wait until the rhetoric dies down, rubber meets the road, to see really what he's going to do. And I'm not sure, and I'm not going to say that it's going to be worse for Muslims or worse for African Americans. I don't think African Americans could do any worse. And we have to start thinking about some of these things, because we talk about immigration. Nobody who has deported more people than Obama. Nobody have conducted more drone strikes in Muslim lands than Obama. So before you get off on that, you know, Trump is this and Trump is that, try to look at some of the issues. Now, am I saying I got the answers to all this? Heck no, I don't. I'm new to politics, but I'm relatively new to political analysis outside of the Muslim community. I admit that I'm an imam of a mosque. And I talk mainly about Muslim issues. I talk about American issues. I think about American issues as a citizen, but as a commentator, no, I'm new to it. And thanks for tuning into our show. Again, you're tuning in with Imam Luqman Ahmed, my show, The Muslim Review. I'm your host. The call-in number is 929-477-2385. And right now, we're talking about Trump and Muslims, how it all breaks down. And this is very complex. And I'm saying that Muslims should be careful, on one hand, of how we build coalitions within the anti-Trump spirit that's going on in the country, because they're throwing all the issues together. And it does give the Muslim, it does give the impression that Muslims, we support every anti-Trump movement, every anti-Trump group, no matter what that group stands for. So we support all the issues that Trump are against. And we want to avoid that impression. And we want to avoid falling into that if you are a Muslim, because a lot of Muslims, a lot of our youngsters, a lot of our Muslims, they don't know. They don't know the difference. Because we live in a different society than 20 years ago. So young Muslims growing up today, some of them may even support marriage equality. Listen, people can love whoever they want to love. But as a Muslim, marriage is between man and a woman. I'm not going to change on that. As a Muslim, straight out abortion for abortion's sake, that's haram. That's prohibited. Don't kill the soul that Allah has made sacred except just cause, just do. And because you ain't feel like having a baby right now, that's not a just cause to me. I'm not here to fight you about it. You want to call in? You're welcome to call in and talk about that if you want to. Calling number is 929-477-2385. This is your host, Imam Luqman Ahmed. Now, I want to talk about, like on today's show, we're going to, the last show we were talking about Riyadh Salih, and I decided that I would really do a lot of religious teachings in this show, and I am. So I'm going to take another 10 minutes to talk about this Trump thing and Muslims, and then we're going to segue right after that into Riyadh Salihin, the book called Riyadh Salihin, Guardians of the Righteous. And we're going to continue last week's conversation, as I promised you last week. But so far, the only nomination or the only nominees that seem to have been confirmed are Secretary of Homeland Security John Kelly, and he was confirmed yesterday, I think. Yeah. And Secretary of Defense James Mattis, he was confirmed yesterday. But Ben Carson still hasn't been confirmed. Ben DeVos, I think she's backing out. Secretary of Education Ben Carson, Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Rex Tillerson still, they got more questions for him. Elaine Chao, she has been confirmed Secretary of Transportation. Of course, Rex Tillerson, former head of ExxonMobil, for Secretary of State. And Jeff Sessions has not been confirmed either, nor has all the rest of them. Nikki Haley, ambassador to the United States, they have been confirmed. So, you know, Steve Mnuchin, Secretary Rick Perry, Secretary of Energy, not been confirmed yet. So I'm still waiting to see how his cabinet is going to stack up in the end and how they're going to proceed on the issue. Because he's all bad for America. He's all bad for Muslims. I'm not buying that. And I'm definitely not buying it. He's all bad for black people because, shoot, man, we have to, the situation hasn't changed from Obama time. So again, this is your host, Imam Rahman Ahmed, the show, The Muslim Review. And I'm actually trying to, I was watching the protest marches on TV. I got the TV on in my office. I'm watching stuff and trying to talk about it on the radio. I don't know if that's supposed, you're supposed to do it that way, but what the heck. I'm just starting off on my show. I'm glad that you tuned in if you're tuning in. And, of course, you can always listen to the episodes after the show is over. You can listen to it as a podcast. You just go in to blogtalkradio.com/ The Muslim Review. So, as Muslims, where do you stand? I don't personally, I'm not into marching. I've never been a much of a marcher. I watch a march on television. I'm not really into the marching thing. But my hat's off to those who do want to go out. Now, this is now, but a couple of things I want to point out about Trump, too. And like I said, we are going to go, you know, we're going to talk. I'm not going to spend my whole thing on the Trump thing, but you know, we're going to talk about some religious issues as well. We're going to go into the other sort of thing. But one thing that I did like, one thing that I'm glad I saw, you know, and I like this part. A lot of people are praying for President Donald Trump, and maybe I wasn't paying that much attention last time. When President Obama was elected, I mean, I remember watching the inauguration. I remember watching the parade. I just don't remember watching the next day the National Prayer Service, and I wasn't paying as much attention to the prayer part of the inauguration and the benediction. I wasn't paying that much attention, so I don't know if it was the same with Barack Obama as it is with Trump as far as these prayers are concerned. But today, I was watching the National Prayer Service, and I'm like, there's got at least a dozen or more religious leaders coming up, and they're making dua for Donald Trump, and they're making some serious prayers. I mean, they praying. And I was thinking, you know, maybe because this guy, people have so many concerns about him. They're so concerned about him that they're just praying, God bless this guy. God guide the president. God give the president wisdom and so on. And I thought that was a good thing. And I still think that's a good thing. And I'm just wondering, I'm seeing on TV now, he's talking to the intel community, and they're just saying how he's saying that he's so behind them, just, you know, after disparaging them last week about the Russian thing. But again, let's go back to the prayer. The fact that people are praying hard for this president, I think that may bode well, because Allah answers prayers. Now, before you attack me, I don't want you to have the impression as a Muslim that the only prayer that Allah answers are Muslim prayers, because, of course, you know, that's not true. He answers whatever prayers that he wants to. And people are saying some, you know, as a Muslim, man, I can tell a good dua when I see one. I can tell a good dua when I see one or when I hear one. And some of these dua that they're saying, some of these prayers they're asking God to do and guide this president and help this president and protect the country, they're good prayers. They're good, solid prayers that I would say. So maybe Allah will answer some of these. Okay, so again, this is your host, Imam Luqman Ahmed. Our show today, we're talking about Donald Trump, We're talking about the demonstrations. If you'd like to call in, you're welcome to do so. The call-in number is 99-477-2385. But in a moment, we're going to turn our attention to our conversation that we were having last week that we started and we were having, and we're going to talk about Riyadh Salihin. But I just want to say to Muslims, be careful, man. Be careful before we jump on everybody else's bandwagon, okay? We have to compartmentalize our issues. That's just the way that we do. That's just the way that we think as Muslims. Think in terms of compartmentalization, our fiqh, our laws, our theology. It's like that. So be careful before you bandwagoneer, okay? Go to the march, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Like I said, I posted on Facebook earlier today, you know, that I asked a question. I said, you know, is there a credible, practical endgame to the women's march against President Trump? If so, what is it? I understand that there are a lot of Muslim women involved. Who's behind that? Who's funding it? I still haven't found out who's funding it. But a couple of brothers that I know who are there said, Sheikh, listen, we're out here, and there's an end game. And I started to look into it a little bit more. And I said, okay, you know, I can see that. And then I posted after that, okay, I'm convinced now that the marchers have a very credible end game and purpose. Okay. And then I posted on the bright side, many Muslims, including myself, are praying for this president. That's a good thing. Maybe Allah will accept these, and don't think for a minute that only answers the prayers of the Muslims. And that's all I'm going to say on the topic, because now we're going to talk about Riyadh Salihin. We're going to get into religious talk again, because I really kind of want the show to move more towards being a religious show as opposed to being a political show. Now, last week, we were talking about ikhlas, about sincerity. And we were talking about some hadith, some verses about sincerity. What does it mean? But I want to point out something, too, that the way Imam an-Nawawi put together Riyadh Salihin was, which is Gardens of the Righteous, which is the book that I recommend. And if you have that book, you can go ahead and get it out, because we're going to be every week, we're going to be studying a portion, something from that book, and we're going to studying it in succession, successively from one chapter to the next chapter to the next chapter to the next chapter. So the first chapter was the section on sincerity. And this is the way he set it up. And I just want to talk about the first five chapters, right? The first chapter was sincerity. And he breaks that down. And we're going to break it down a little bit more with a couple more hadith before our show is over today. But then the next chapter he goes into was repentance. So it's almost like he was saying, look, first you got to start with sincerity, because I don't know if you got sincerity or not. But here it is, and he breaks it down using Quran and Hadith, right? Then, right after that, he goes into repentance. So it's almost like he's saying, okay, once you got sincerity down, what's next? You have to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to repent to start free. And we're going to talk about repentance. I don't know if we're going to get to it today, but we're definitely going to be into repentance by next week. But then after repentance, he says, okay, now that you got repentance down and you're starting fresh, now he goes into patience, because you have to be patient with yourself, because now you're fighting a real battle. Because once a person is sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they make repentance and they want to keep moving, man, you're fighting a real battle now. Because Shaitan is not as concerned about you if you are not sincere, because he has more control over those who aren't sincere. You aren't sincere, he got you. If you're sincere, he doesn't have any sultan. He doesn't have any authority. So now you're really his enemy. So he goes to from a sincerity to repentance to patience to truthfulness. Because truthfulness is how you move forward. Were you going to move forward as a liar, or was it someone who speaks the truth? And then he goes into watchfulness. Al-Maraqaba. And we're going to talk about that later. But I want to go back to the section on sincerity. And hopefully, you know, you have your Riyadus Salihin. But if you don't, that's fine too. So the first hadith, of course, we talked about hadith of Umar ibn Khattab. And that's the most famous hadith, I guess, in this section on sincerity, where he said, in the hadith of Umar ibn Khattab, he said that the Prophet said, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in ma'amal bin niyat, wa innama li kulli mri'in ma nawa, faman kanat hijratuhu ila Allah wa rasulih, fa hijratuhu ila Allah wa rasulih. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِلدُّنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ امْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. And the Prophet said, surely deeds are judged according to the intention. And every person shall get what they intended, whomever makes the vibration for the sake of Allah and His Messenger, then his migration will be for the sake of Allah and his messenger. And whoever makes the migration for the world, the dunya, to gain from it, or a woman to marry her, then his migration shall be for what he migrated to. And that hadith, of course, the Prophet was talking about the hijrah, the migration from Mecca to Medina. But what was very important about it is that every person shall get from Allah what their intention dictated. I explained the hadith last week, but I want to go to another hadith. I think I mentioned it last week, but we're going to close out the book of Ikhlas and move forward to the next chapter. But I want to explain hadith number 7 in the section on sincerity in the book Riyadus Salihin, Gardens of the Righteous. And that hadith is on Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and I think I mentioned last week that we know Abu Hurairah. Everybody knows Abu Hurairah. He related the most hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he related more hadith than anyone else, let me put it that way, as far as the number of hadith that he related about the Prophet. But we know him as Abu Hurairah, but his actual name was Abdurrahman ibn Sakhar. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. May Allah be pleased with him. His name was Abdurrahman ibn Sakhar, but most people don't know that. They know him as Abu Hurairah. He related the hadith. He said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله لا ينظر إلى أجسامكم ولا إلى صوركم ولكن ينظر إلى قلوبكم وأعمالكم. He says that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, verily, Allah the Most High does not look at your bodies nor at your outer appearance. But what He looks at is your heart and your deeds, and that is true. And that just underscores the importance of sincerity to Allah in our actions. There is another hadith several, but you know, we want to kind of move through this chapter a little bit. But I want to read you the hadith about man. Let's see here. Let me see. One more hadith. I think I covered it last week, but I think I want to do it again. And this hadith is really important. It's a famous hadith. And it was about Ma'an, who was one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Let me see. Yeah, I should have been more prepared for this. But, you know, I just like you coming on board to have the conversation. And if I could find the hadith, and I think, here it is right here. This hadith is on Yazid. Well, on Abi Yazid, his name was Ma'an, son of Yazid, son of Al-Akhnas, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Now, in the case of Abu Yazid, or Ma'an, he was a companion of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. And his father was a companion of the Prophet as well. And his grandfather was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in this case, Abu Yazid, whose name was Ma'an, was a son of Yazid, who was also a companion of the Prophet, who was a son of Al-Akhnas, who was also a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the only time, this is the only time where that occurred, where you had three generations. They were all companions of the Prophet alayhi wasallam. So what happened that one time, Abu Yazid, he put out some dinars for sadaqah. There was a man in the masjid, and he said, listen, here's some dinars, and I want you to distribute that. The text of the hadith was, can Abu Yazid akhraj dinanira yatasaddaqu biha fawada'aha 'inda rajulin fil masjid faj'itu fa akhadhtuha fa ataytuhu biha fa qala wallahi ma iyyaka fa khassantuhu ila rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala laka ma يا يزيد ولك ما أخذت يا معن. Hadith is going to go through it that he said, my father set aside some dinars of charity and gave them to a man in the mosque. So I went to that man and took back those dinars and went to my father with it. And my father said, hey, I didn't intend for you to have somebody else get it. So I argued with him about that, and we went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to put forth the issue before him, to put it before the Prophet. Right? We said, we argued. Prophet said, man, that was, you weren't supposed to take that, homie. And his son said, hey, well, I believe you gave it out there. You put it out there for somebody to get it, and I need it. So anyway, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet said to, he said to my father, Yazid, he said, you have been rewarded for what you intended, meaning to the father who put out the dinars. Whatever you intended, Allah gave you that. Meaning you intended to put those dinars in the masjid for somebody destitute or someone in need to take it, and for the sake of Allah, then you get that reward right there. Don't worry about that. And he said to Ma'an, he said, and the fact that you took it, you keep it. You needed it, you took it, you keep it. And there's a lot of lessons in that. But the lesson is, you get what you intend. And we're not going to speak on the intentions of the companions, but you get what the intent. Now, so that's intention. So now, after the intention, what's the next chapter? And we want to talk about that. We have about 20 minutes on our show today. We're going to talk about Tawbah, because Tawbah is extremely important. What is Tovah? Well, Tovah literally means to return. It means to return. Like in verse of Quran says, in the Hudna Ilay, you know, we have returned to you. Tovah means returning, but technically it means to return to Allah. That's what we call it. Now, once you have established in your heart sincerity to Allah, then you want to talk or you want to get into repenting to Allah. Now, what I, let's see how much time we have here. I want to have, take a quick break and talk a little bit about the book and play, you know, have a little commercial to talk about the book and where you can get it. I do want to remind you about the book, Dalit Slavery. And I'm going to try to do that. Like I said, I'm still working with the technology on this show. That's the whole thing. But I'm determined to continue. I love being on the radio. And but I'm going to see if I can make use of the time a little bit. So let me, what I'm going to do, ladies and gentlemen, is I'm going to take about a minute to go offline, or not go offline, but to make an adjustment in my apparatus here, and I'll be right back with you. Okay, we're back. Okay, now, what we have left in the show, I want to talk about repentance a little bit, okay? Now, what is repentance? What is Tawbah? Tawbah is to repent to Allah, is to ask for forgiveness for your sins. But there's conditions on what constitutes Tawbah. Now, first of all, I want to mention that scholars of Islam say that it's incumbent upon every Muslim to repent from every sin. Now, you got two types of sins that I want to talk about. One, sins that has to do with haqqillah, the right of Allah. That's number one. Number two, sins that has to do with the rights of Allah, but the rights of people too. So for example, if you decide not to make salat, that is considered to be a sin in Islam. But it's not a sin against a person, it is a sin against Allah. But if you decide to backbite somebody, that's a sin against Allah, but it's also a sin against people. So in order to repent from these two sins, the process is slightly different. Okay, so the importance of Tawbah, first of all, let me mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He mentions the Quran. He says, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. He says, so repent to Allah, all of you, for all of your sins, you believers, so that you will be successful. And Allah also says, استغفروا ربكم ثم توبوا إليه. He says, seek forgiveness from your Lord and repent to him. And Allah also says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا. He says, O you who believe, repent to Allah with a sincere repentance. Now, how do you repent from a sin? Three things you have to do. If you are doing a sin, and that sin has to do with the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there's three things that you have to do. First, you have to stop doing it. Stop committing the sin. You can't be committing the sin and repenting from the sin at the same time. That's hustling backwards. No, you want to desist from committing the sin. Cease and desist. That's number one. First condition. The second condition is that you have to feel remorse. You have to have contrition for you having committed that sin or engaged in that sin or acted in that sinful manner. You're like, wow, man, I feel bad about that. Like, I'm not really happy with myself because I was sinning. That was wrong. And I feel bad about that. I'm remorseful about that. That's number two. Number three is that you have to wake up in your mind. You have to have some decision that you want to do that again. The firm decision that you're never going to commit that sin again. Those are the three conditions to Allah. Now, if the sin that you committed had to do with another human being, backbiting was your sin, you have to do the first three conditions that I mentioned, but you have to add a condition is you have to get a little bit from that person. You got to make right to that person. You shouldn't be something for that person. You got to give it back. You wrong that person. You have to rectify. Excuse me. You have to rectify that wrong. So sins, when you repent from sins, they could have degree or condition as I have just now mentioned. And we ask Allah to have mercy and listen to our repentance. Now, look at our lady. Rasulullah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him for all any of his sins. Or in any way he committed sin in the future. And we're not going to talk here about office and they commit sins. Most scholars, they know that they're free of Adrian, especially our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that's going to be, we'll talk about that down the road in more detail. One of the hadith of Al-Hurairah, where he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Yaqul, Wallahi, إني لأستغفر الله وأتوب إليه في اليوم أكثر من 70 مرة. This hadith is an authentic hadith. It's a Bukhari. And Abu Huraira said he heard the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, by Allah, I swear by Allah, I ask forgiveness and repent to him more than 7 times a day. And that's heavy. That hadith isn't so heavy, buddy. But that's heavy. Here's the Prophet talking about. He repents to Allah 70 times every day. And the hadith of Al-Har Ibn Yasar and Muzani, he said, Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ayyuhan nasu, tubu ilahi, wa taghfiruhu, fa inni atubu fi mi'ata marra. In this hadith, Aghar ibn Yasar said, he said that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, O people, turn to Allah in repentance and beg forgiveness of Him. Because I turn to Him in repentance 100 times a day. And that is phenomenal. That shows the piety and humility of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his knowledge of how important it is to repent to Allah, that he does it in one hadith 70 times a day, one hadith 100 times a day. Some scholars say these numbers don't represent actual numbers, but it just shows that he just did it a lot. Some say it represents the actual numbers, maybe even more, wallahu alam, but nevertheless, we show that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he was firm and steadfast in seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's only the beginning of it. Because when a person makes tawbah to Allah, when a person repents to Allah, well, you're happy. You know, the Prophet, you're filled. You feel it when you make a real tawbah. When the Prophet said, some said, "Attaibu min adambi, kaman la dhanba la." The person who repents from a sin is like the one who has no sin. But check this out. Allah is happy when you repent. Now, in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, he said, and Anas ibn Malik, who he was one of the knowledgeable companions of the Alayhi wa sallam, when he was a boy, he used to run and grab his wudu ibrik, his little wudu container of water, and crack that out in the morning. I used to be there. Because I used to be amongst people, he used to spend the night outside the Prophet's apartment, but he grew to be one of the great scholars from amongst the companions of the Prophet. They used to call him Abu Hamza. And when Abu Hamza, Anas ibn Malik, he was a servant of the Prophet, he was Ansar. He said, Qal Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahu afrahu bi tawbati abdihi min ahadikum saqata ala ba'irihi wa qad adallahu fil ardi falan matafiqun alayhi hadith. This hadith is Sahih Bukhari the Muslim, and I'm going to read two hadiths, and I think that's all we're going to have for time for today, because we've got like 5 minutes or so left in the show. But in the hadith of Anas, he said that Allah, verily, Allah is more delighted with the repentance of a slave than a person who lost his camel in the desert land and then finds it unexpectedly. Now, in another version of this hadith, this particular one that I just mentioned, as in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, but like I mentioned to you before, many times hadith have different versions. Not that the Prophet said something different, that people might have heard different parts of what he said, and in many times the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated himself, to whereas he may have said one thing in one hadith in one sitting with people, and then said the same hadith in another sitting, but maybe he might have added some more information to it or elaborated on it in a different way. And so that's how we would get a broad picture of the sunnah of what the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, what he taught, just by taking into consideration, scholars do, as we must do, all of the hadith, all of the authentic hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has to be taken into consideration to give you an accurate picture of the teaching. So he mentioned how Allah is so happy when a person repents, like a person who loses the camera and then finds it. And another version of the hadith, he said, Allahu ashadda. He says, Allahu ashaddu farahan bi tawbati 'abdihi hina yatubu ilayhi min ahadikum kana 'ala rahilatihi bi ardin falatin fanfalatat minhu wa 'alayha ta'amuhu wa sharabu fa'asa minha fa'ata shadratan fataj'a fi dhillha wa qad ayasa min rahilatihi فبينما هو كذلك إذا هو بها قائمة عنده فأخذ بخطامها ثم قال من شدة الفرح اللهم أنت عبدي وعن ربك أخطأ من شدة الفرح. This hadith is beautiful. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, verily, Allah is more pleased with the repentance of his slave than a person who has his camel in a waterless desert, carrying his provision of food and drink. And then he loses that camel. And you're in the middle of the desert, right? And then he loses all hope to get the camel back. So he finds a tree with a shade and he lies down. And he has lost all hope about his camel. And then he got his head down. He's just, you know, depressed about it. And he looks up and finds that camel standing before him. And then he grabs the reins of this camel. And out of his boundless joy, he blurts out, oh, Allah, you are my slave. I'm your Lord. Because he commits the mistake. Because he's so happy. And that's how happy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when a person makes repentance to him. And that's the end of our show today. I want to thank you for tuning in to the Muslim Review with your host, Luqman Ahmed. You can friend me on Luqman Ahmed on Facebook, and you can follow Twitter, Luqman Ahmed. Go to my blog, imamluqman.wordpress.com. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about my new work because we need your support, inshallah ta'ala. I want you to take a look at my book. Book is called Double-Edged Slavery. A lot of you have already ordered the book, have already gotten, really good reviews. I'm glad you like it. But this talks about African American, their condition, and why African American Muslims, particularly in convert Muslims, ended up being a colony under the greater community. So all these issues about Black Lives Matter and the Trump, you know, election, and the issues for rights, human rights, and Black rights, and immigrant rights is all connected. And I wrote about some of this in the book, and the book helps you make the correction, and it helps you make the connection and the correction as well. So again, thank you for tuning in to the show. This is Imam Luqman. I'm your host. The name of our show is the Muslim Review. We talk about issues unabashedly here. We don't use political correctness, and we hardly using the protocol technology right. So again, thank you for tuning in. I hope to talk to you next week. In the meantime, visit me on my blog, brand.wordpress.com. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.